in case there's anyone uninitiated, if you want to give us like a history of Zeal and Ardor, just a rundown of, you know, how you got started and what's going on with you now.
Sure. I started this project basically on a dare on 4chan, and it kind of spiraled into this thing that I really like and like doing. It was like a one-man thing, but now I have like a whole band playing with me on the road. And yeah, here we are 3 albums later, and I get to talk to Toilet of Hell. So I made it in my book.
Awesome. What music have you been spinning lately just for yourself?
A lot of like noisy ambient stuff. This band called Fuck Buttons. Their record Street Horsing, the Mastodon record, and I mean, being on tour with Mastodon and Opeth has, you know, it wasn't painful to hear to listen to Blackwater Park every night, so yeah, that was pretty cool.
All right, can you if you have like a set one, or if you do you know, you have multiple approaches, I'm curious about like your compositional and songwriting process. If you have any way to articulate that.
Sure. I mean, basically my thing is I just write every day, and you know, 90% of the time it's horrible shit, but 10% is actually not terrible. So you just, it's basically just throwing a bunch of shit to the wall and seeing what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people romanticize the creative process of, you know, then I had this vision and suddenly I had a song. For me, it's like, mm-hmm. not that. It's just basically like a muscle that you need to train, and eventually it's okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you tend to like build up from like a melody or a texture, or it's just kind of you go at it until whatever works? There's nothing that like you tend to start with. It's just seeing what sticks, however you start at it.
I like to switch it up. I mean, sometimes it starts from like a vocal melody or like a drum thing or guitar riff, but there's no one way that I approach it. So
okay.
Yeah, I just mess around with a whole bunch of instruments and see what, okay. you know, what's pleasant to me, I guess.
Yeah, Red. Do you ever find yourself like placing restrictions while you're writing in an attempt to keep things accessible, or are you just kind of like, fuck it, this is what I sound like, I have an audience, here we are?
Well, luckily with Zeal and Ardor, people kind of expect us to be not subversive, but like a little experimental, so mm-hmm. I get to mess around with, you know, synthesizers or like binaural things, and it's all legitimate, so I'd be silly, you know, to restrict myself. But I mean, with Zeal and Ardor, there is like a playing field that I'm allowed to play in. And I feel that that's kind of helpful in the creative process to have like some sort of boundary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Over the years, I've noticed Zeal and Ardor has gotten both heavier at times, and also more overtly politically charged. I know with me, especially like during the pandemic and all the right-wing bullshit going on, I was like listening to and making a lot of like really heavy, bleak shit, and then just that well of like cathartic process in me, it ran dry. Do you find yourself worrying about getting burned out on such heavy topics, or have they continued to be like a source of energy for you?
Well, both. I mean, we did that EP last year that was like the most overtly political thing that we've done. And mm-hmm. but I personally prefer to be more vague in my songwriting. So mm-hmm. We kept that like as an isolated event. So I'm not eager to repeat that anytime soon. And yeah. I think it's more fun for an audience, you know, if there's something to dig out or something to interpret on your own terms, rather than this is what it's supposed to mean. So yeah, I mean, while it does influence or inform what I do, it's not maybe not even like conscious. It's just something that, you know, happens to be on my mind. Mm-hmm. But I don't go out of my way anymore to make a comment directly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something that heavy, it burns you out really quickly. Like I said. So
it got to the point where I'm like, you know, not even in the mood of, you know, talking to people about it anymore. Well, because you always come to the same conclusions and you just run into the same wall and you end up, mm-hmm. you know, both parties are just unfulfilled and, you know, start drinking. Yeah. So
yeah,
you could just drink directly. Yeah.
On a lighter note, if you had the opportunity to like creatively work with anyone, living or dead, like who would be some people that you'd just like be dying to collaborate with?
I guess Björk would be pretty fucking cool. Mike Patton mm-hmm. would be rad. Devin Townsend is a chaotic, neutral kind of guy, I guess. Yeah, just kind of freaky people. I think mm-hmm. Frank Zappa was too much of a control freak to be a fun collab, I think. Mm-hmm. I'll keep it with those three for the moment.
Awesome. boy. Let's see. All right. Well, I guess I'm going to circle back to another heavy topic and then
yeah.
Woohoo. So anyone who's been paying attention has noticed, especially with the US and Britain, we seem to be in like a race to see who can be the most overtly fascist. But you know, the whole this weird right wing resurgence thing has been happening like worldwide. Has this like begun, as things have gotten more overt, has it begun to really circle back to you over in Europe and in Switzerland?
Well, not yet, and not really, but I just heard that in France the other night, Anna von Hauswolf would have had a gig in a church, and she got like, it had to be canceled because all these, you know, I guess right-wing protesters mm-hmm. were against, apparently, I didn't know she had Satanist texts, but mm-hmm. They deemed them Satanist and protested her gig, and she couldn't fucking play the gig. So who knows? I mean, with fun titles like Church Burns and Death to the Holy, maybe maybe there's fun things in our future. Fuck.
Yeah. yeah. We're all in it together, I guess. yeah. While you're on tour, like, what do you do for fun? Like, do you read books or play games or?
Here's the thing. I always bring books and I never end up reading them. So, we just went to like, you know, museums and shit when we had time in cities. So, yeah, I guess just look at the place you're in. Mm-hmm. Our bassist had the brilliant idea of actually just buying a bike. So he would just, we'd arrive at like 11 a.m. in this new city and he'd just fuck off for like 4 hours, which is
fun.
Pretty fucking smart. So I think I'm gonna steal that idea going forward. But other than that, it's been a lot of gazing into a phone and looking for a coffee place that isn't terrible and looking for a place to defecate. That's
the whole public bathroom thing is kind of an issue. Were there any like favorite places that you can remember to just chill before playing while you were touring?
I mean, there were some like cool like bars and cafes. I can't for the life of me name any one of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we went to one like Mexican history museum. I think it was in Houston, Texas. That was really, really cool. Yeah, just stuff like that. Basically roadside attractions, but a little more highbrow because we're European and douchebags. So there you go.
Let's see. Well, kind of ran through almost all the questions I came up with beforehand. So I guess
they're winging it. We're doing it live.
Yeah, we can just kind of chat and have a good time.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm really into like the sort of uncategorizable music where it's like fusing stuff together and being really experimental. What artists help influence you while you're writing to create, you know, such unique music? Like what kind of things do you, are you looking for anything over while you're writing, or do you just kind of go with the flow?
It would be like really easy to just like, you know, name drop really cool acts and say, well, you know, I was reading like, I don't know, fucking James Joyce and like mainlining Lithurgy records. And that's when I, but yeah. Honestly, I do listen to like, you know, out there music, but I don't make a conscious effort to like, okay, gotta get weird, gotta get odd. So I think it's far more boring than that. Yeah, I just kind of go with the flow of things and see what you know, what intrigues me, when if it's new or not doesn't really inform that decision. But you know, you never really know what influences you. You can, you know, like I said, mainline like really intellectual shit, but then you're in the supermarket and you hear like a Taylor Swift song that's stuck in your head all day, and all that, you know, that hard douchey work goes out the window.
On that note, like I've noticed like a lot of my like peers and stuff, when we were younger, like especially with me, I was like, it's either got to be like really hoity-toity classical shit or like the heaviest, most brutal metal, because I got to prove that I'm better than everybody. And then like now that I'm older, like I just don't give a shit. Have you found like your listening habits have like opened up as you've gotten older, and like you been allowed to just take more influence in from the world?
And I never really was that elitist guy. Like I was stoked on Beach House when they came out, and I do enjoy certain pop songs, and you know, it's just such an easier way to, you know, spend your day, other than instead of being angry at the radio for some reason. And if you enjoy more things, chances are you're gonna have a better time. So yeah, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, that's exhausting to try and be better than everybody.
It is.
For fucking reason. what like non-musical stuff do you tend to seek out in life?
I read a lot of books, like a lot of like weird sci-fi shit. Really into Philip K. Dick and Octavia Butler. I play a lot of games too, and yeah, every weird experience. Yeah.
All right. Well, now we're gonna. What's your favorite Philip K. Dick novel?
I just like his short stories. I think The Final Question is fucking brilliant. And it's just like the way that he approaches stories is not like, okay, I have to have a narrative, but what if X was X? And I think as childish as that notion is, it's really fucking intriguing, and I can't stop reading it. So
yeah,
it's good shit.
What I admire about him is he would always just be like, this is what the world is like. I'm not going to give you like 40 pages of backstory on it. Just run with it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So fucking refreshing. Yeah.
And then games, I know we were talking about this before we actually started the interview, but like, what's like your favorite genre? Like, what do you seek out most for fun on that end?
I mean, on one side, I look for new mechanics and just, you know, intriguing game design concepts. And on the other hand, I like the way you can, you know, spin stories with that, you know, medium. So like The Outer Wild is a fantastic example of that, or I guess even everything that Valve did, like how they incorporated storytelling into the environment. It's fucking fascinating because it's so many smart people involved in something so dumb and we get to play it. It's fucking neat. Yeah.
Oh boy. Jeez.
Fuck, now you're awake and it's fucking 8 in the morning. That's, it's not fair.
We're good. We're good. We're gonna get some cool shit. I don't know. I feel like I'm a creative myself. So when I interview people, I try and get a lot of like, I kind of like turn it into a masterclass to see if I can learn anything from other more well-established people. So I think I want to try and circle back on like creative venues, but
sure. What do you create?
I'm a author and I also do music.
Oh, sweet. Awesome.
Yeah. So
what do you write? Like spec fic or is it?
Yeah, I do a lot of like sci-fi fantasy stuff. Like a lot of mostly short fiction right now. I'm working on a novel, but it's once the pandemic hit, mm-hmm. and everything was so fucking up in the air and like the outward stress was too much for me to handle, like working on the novel. So I set it aside for like 2 years and now I'm coming back to it. Like, where the fuck was I? What was I doing?
Yeah. Who's this character? God damn. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, I do a lot of short fiction. I started getting back into it now that I hesitate to say things are better, but I'm at least more used to them. You know, I hit that point where I was like, I can't just keep waiting around for things to improve, because if we're real, when's that can happen? So it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be massive. I don't have to pound it out every day or whatever, but like just do something or you're just going to be here forever.
Did you ever get like cabin fever from just, you know, being around the same things every day?
Yeah, I took on a lot of weird hobbies. Like I started learning how to yo-yo.
Sick.
Just to get out of the house. I'm lucky that I live by like a lot of really nice parks. Just take the dogs out, go to the park every once in a while, stuff like that. But yeah, like my wife and I were planning on moving and then I got furloughed and you know, the housing market was all crazy and everything. So we stayed checked up with my parents and like they also had other people living with them. It's like 5 adults in the same house for what, over a year and a half. It was too much. So
yeah, because for me it was like it came to the point where I just needed to leave, even just, you know, for 1 or 2 days to a different place, and that really helped me just clear my head, I guess. Did you ever have like an opportunity to do something like that? You know, to take the wife out to a shitty Airbnb just the next town over?
Yeah. We would take like a little short trip every once in a while to like a town nearby. We live kind of close to the capital city of Washington. Like it's an hour away if you drive. So we went up to the docks there, walked around, and there are like art galleries and shit. It's really nice.
That's sweet. On the tour, we didn't take our actual drummer with us, but we played with Anoop Sastry, who lives in Frederick, which is maybe in your neck of the woods. I'm not sure.
Maybe. There are a whole bunch of little towns in Washington.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Just need to know where it is. I'm like right on the main freeway, so if it's too far off of that, I'm like,
it is.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Not very far at all.
I mean, it, at least it's green, you know. You can kind of escape to somewhat nature.
It's a beautiful area, but you know, on the political end of things, I'm from Vancouver, which is like right above Portland, Oregon. And it's unfortunately for me, it's like the hotbed of like one of the big neo-fascist movements in the country. Like,
no bueno.
They're right from here. We've got a like a KKK Grand Wizard downtown, and like it didn't used to be this overt, but like over the recent years, like I feel like a lot of people also just moved here to be close to Portland so that they could go down south and stir up trouble. And that's part of the reason like why we wanted to move, and I feel a little bit stuck, but you know, I'm sure most of us feel a little bit stuck unless you're really rich. So
yeah, that must be nice.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
It would be. Let's see. Like on that clearing your head thing, I know a lot of like creative people find being bored to be kind of instrumental to getting to that point of making something new. Is that something you subscribe to?
I guess to a certain degree, but I think you can also be understimulated. And mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I think there's a balance there, I guess you need to strive for. But honestly, if I knew what the formula was, I'd be in a better place.
Yeah. I don't think anyone knows what the formula is. We just kind of figure out what works for us.
Exactly. But I think there's something to be said about having that, you know, isolated space where you can be alone with your thoughts, and there's not a phone ringing, there's not YouTube running in the background, and there's not a, you know, a top 10 list on fucking, I don't know. But I did find it hard, especially like in the last couple of months or the last year, to get into that space. I guess we all, or maybe I'm generalizing here, but there was a certain comfort in having just background noise and avoiding, you know, I guess these big thoughts for just a second.
Yeah. Well, I mean, big shit was happening, you know.
It was, but like there was this ennui or this growing boredom with, okay, we're going to talk about COVID. Okay, we're going to talk about like racism. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, if it's a daily occurrence, you just kind of get burnt out. And I think that's why people lapped up that Tiger King shit, or, you know, everyone's into 40K now, which is bizarre because I used to be like a paria for liking that stuff, you know. So I guess distractions are good, but I like to microdose them, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like on my end, that the distraction thing, I think, did become detrimental, because like, you know, like I was able to go back to my job eventually, but it was exhausting because people are so fucking horrible now. Like not everybody. I should temper that by saying most people were still fine. It's just the people who were nasty were like ramped up like, you know, tenfold.
Yeah.
But you know, I'd come home exhausted, and then just immediately I would seek out, you know, some distraction. I'd binge watch a show or I'd play a game, and then just like, you know, after a while you can kind of feel like your head getting filled with cotton, and then like trying to do anything real, like creative, it's just like you're impotent.
Yeah, extremely so. It got to the point where I couldn't really fall asleep without, you know, a dumb movie or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that was detrimental to my creativity, because I'd wake up and I'd still like think about whatever the fuck, you know, that person was talking about, or whatever the fuck that series was. And I didn't really get into my day proper until I made a conscious effort to do so. So I guess, you know, there needs to be a little bit of a void. And I'm still figuring out how to do that. But like you, you know, like we're trying to kind of act in this new normalcy that we have to live in now. And we're just coming to terms with it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
guess on a lighter note, like, I guess I'm always interested, how did you get into music? Like, when did you start, like, learning an instrument or whatever?
Well, both my parents were musicians, and they forced me to play an instrument, and they/I picked the saxophone when I was, like, I don't know, seven, mm-hmm. and I fucking hated it, because it wasn't doing it in my terms, and I had to go, like, to classes and shit, and mm-hmm. it wasn't my thing, because I didn't really instigate it, so I kind of laid that to rest, and later on, I think with 14, started playing guitar and got into metal and stuff like that. And I was really adamant about that because it was my thing. And, you know, it's almost like on a solipsistic thing, they didn't interfere with it. And it was my holy little escapism thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, funnily enough, that's what I'm trying to get back to that little... You know, when you started, I guess also when you start writing, or for me, it was like that. It was a very personal thing. And now it's not even personal anymore. In a way, it seems public, even creating it, as mm-hmm. I have all these other opinions and other creators looming over my shoulder. But I kind of have to get rid of that and just get back in the headspace of I'm doing this for me. And I guess... Mm-hmm. when I do something for myself, it just ends up being more personal, and I through that a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like the limelight kind of started affecting you a little bit.
Well, I wouldn't say so, but I it would be a lie to say that it wasn't a factor, because mm-hmm. as much as you try to shut it down, you make a conscious effort to shut it down. So it must have been something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come on, circling back on the for nothing. I know we kind of touched on this a little bit with like getting space and everything, but under less extraordinary circumstances, mm-hmm. when you're faced with like burnout, if you ever were before, how do you kind of remedy or combat?
I guess I just keep on doing what I do, but I change the setting. Like I used to have this bar, this anarchist bar with a couple of friends. And in the basement of that is where I would write all my music. Mm-hmm. And now I have like a proper studio and everything's gorgeous and well lit and there's a coffee machine. But, I think through the comfort of it all, I just kind of lose the spark of inspiration. So every once in a blue moon, I go back to that dank basement.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like coming home, and mentally at least, like, wait, this is how it's supposed to feel. Like I go to a crappy place because I really enjoy creating that much. And
yeah,
I guess I just need to remind myself of what attracted me to making music, or to being creative at the first place. Because as I grow more, I guess older, I just tend to forget about that. Because it seems like it's all a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that's actually not true. I really enjoy doing this. And sometimes I need to slap my face and say, wait, you get to do this. Be fucking mm-hmm. stoked. And it works most of the times. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people also get that like similar burnout feeling just because they've monetized something they enjoy. And then it can be hard to, you know, keep it fresh
mm-hmm.
once you're like, once that's a big source of, you know, your livelihood. You know, it's hard to keep it
enticing.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but I think luckily enough, I was old enough when, I mean, Zealand Ardor took off when I was like 27, something like mm-hmm. that. So I never got into that. I guess I ate enough shit prior to actually having a modicum of success So I know both sides well enough, and they're recent enough that I that doesn't, you know, that spark hasn't eluded me yet. But might happen down the road. I sure hope not.
Yeah, same.
Famous last words. But no.
I feel like knowing that you were on the older end, quote unquote, when you hit your big break, as some would put it. Mm-hmm. It is kind of refreshing because, like, there's this big, like, cult of youth in the creative fields where people think, you know, if you haven't done whatever by 25 or 30, then you're never going to make it. And, like, it's just not true. But people just spin their wheels and get so stressed out because, you know, they feel like they're wasting their time.
Yeah, that's just a lamentable thought, though, because it implies that after 30, whatever, you're just done.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think the best works of all my favorite creators actually came post that moment. So there's that to cling on to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's this whole, you know, 30 under 30 fanaticism is just kind of silly. It's just they're sexier. I give them that. They're much more attractive.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's it.
There's also just like a lot of shit you can't really do that authentically until you've had like life experience. Like,
precisely. I mean, it's extremely the case with authorship and literature. Mm-hmm. You can't fake actual hardships beyond a certain point. I mean, you can have the teenager's version, which is, you know, that pure black and white, she broke my heart, what a, you know, terrible person, or, but there's no nuance to it. And I think that's where the interesting stuff comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Goddamn youngsters. Oh, it's fantastic.
Let's see. So, you've got an album dropping shortly, which from what I've heard so far is fantastic, by the way. Do you have any like thoughts or preconceptions about like where Zealand Art is gonna go from here?
Not at all. And I think that's been my roadmap up until now, and it's been brilliant that way. Because I'm only setting myself up for disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go in blind, I can just roll with the punches, and it's served me well so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a couple of, you know, tours lined up, but, you know, nothing beyond that, really.
Yeah. It'd be weird if this was the case, just because all your releases are different enough from each other. But do you ever find people, you know, pulling that metalhead thing of because you've done something slightly different, they end up, you know, disappointed and taking it out on you or something?
Well, a little bit, but I mean, those are the minority, and I think not enough people stick around to be that angry. If you don't like something, you're not gonna like listen to it on YouTube long enough to comment on it.
Yeah,
which has been our saving grace, I believe. So that's nice. But yeah, it hasn't really come to that, you know, it's not hostility, but I guess that judgmental notion yet, which I'm pretty happy about.
Yeah, that's good. Let's see. Now, I know you record basically everything yourself. Do you see that continuing and just having a touring band, or are you planning on bringing in the other members for future recording?
I mean, I might down the road, but for now it's been working so well, and it's been kind of also been feeding my control freakism that I'm having a hard time separating from the control. But I think it might be a refreshing idea to incorporate more people into the creative process. I guess it's just, I'm just scared. I'm just, actually, that's it. Because it might come out as, you know, they participate and it's shit. And I get like this weird sense of superiority. Mm-hmm. Or they, we corroborate and it's way better. And I get this feeling of not being significant. So it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a fun stalemate with myself, so that's fun. I'll do it though. I think I'll get around to it.
I have to. I found sometimes, like, if you have a strong vision or just like a strong sense of style in general, it's not necessarily that, like, you know, you're like an asshole or anything, but just working with other people collaboratively can actually be pretty difficult. And I don't know.
That's just what I needed to hear. Thank you. Kidding. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing. Cause yeah, now it's kind of established in my handwriting that we'd probably have to make a different project for that collaboration, I believe. Not sure though.
Oh, I'm sure, you know, you'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Just learning to share the table like that. I know it can be an odd feeling if you're used to basically doing everything alone. So
yeah. I mean, how is it in writing? Did you ever try to collaborate, you know, in literature? Did that work out?
I've never really tried that yet. I know a lot of people just like trade chapters or pages or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not really well established enough yet to know that many people. Like I've only had, so far one professional sale and then just a bunch of little tiny ones. But I don't know, maybe one day I'll get there. Musically, I've collaborated with people before, but it was always a case of like there was either an imbalance, like I was more confident than someone else who hadn't really done songwriting before, or we would eventually like split up, and just like I put out a split recently and we didn't really jam together on it. We just kind of made our own songs and then showed them to each other and riffed off of the energy from that.
That can work. I can see that working.
Yeah, but like for like real full collaboration, I haven't really done much outside of back when I was in school. So. Let's see. Well, I don't want to miss this one. Whenever I interview people, because again, I like to go from the creative angle. Like when I would visit home and see my old music teacher, she would always be teaching a lesson and she'd ask me for, you know, words of wisdom or advice. Do you have any like words of wisdom or advice for people, you know, just starting out on their creative journey, or maybe they're in the middle of the road and trying to figure out where to go? Just advice for other creatives, if you have any.
I guess it would be lean into what you are, because you can copy all you want. The best case scenario there is just you'll sound exactly like something that already exists. But if you just accept that you, in your weirdness, have value, it'll end up being something unique, and that's worth investing into. Yeah. I know it's cliche, but I stand by it.
Sometimes they're cliches for a reason.
Yeah, that's true.
How about, do you have any advice for, you know, finding your audience, finding your tribe of, you know, people who are into the same sounds and things that you are?
Honestly, to be blatantly honest, I think you just luck into it. That's how I did. I mean, I did try for a long time, for 10 years prior to actually getting any traction in music, to find my audience, be it like, you know, shilling SoundCloud stuff or writing, you know, labels. It's all just luck and nepotism. That sounds bleak, but it's just the truth, sadly. Or TikTok. I don't know about TikTok, so it might be that.
Maybe before. I feel like it's kind of on its way down now, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. I mean, I was too old for that to begin with, so yeah, I'm glad I'm not on that sick ship right now.